Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, to be able to gather here this morning, Lord. And Father, we ask that you would come and anoint us, Lord, as you guide us through the scriptures this morning. Lord, to be able to speak to our hearts and be a help, Lord, to us in our Christian walk, Lord. I pray, Lord, may you have the preeminence in this service, Lord, and we give all the glory to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to read from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 again. We're going to continue on with from where we were last Sunday, speaking about your character. It said, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, which we said meant approved, tried character, and experience hope. Amen. You may be seated. We mentioned the last couple of times, Brother Branham may mention in the message of Thirsting for Life, that life molds your character. It's the things you go through in life that mold your character. The tests that you face, the trials that you face, the hardships you face, sometimes the suffering that you face. These things are all allowed by God in order to mold your character. Paul tells us in Hebrews that don't cast away your confidence because that you're being afflicted and going through reproaches and afflictions. Don't cast away your confidence. In other words, what he's saying is don't start questioning, well, does God really love me? Why is he letting me go through all this? Because we went through last Sunday and said that he knows your tribulations. He knows your testings. He knows your trials. He knows your suffering. But he, as he suffered, there are things we have to go through and suffer. And the Bible says that he learned obedience. Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. And Brother Branham said that what that meant in plain language was that the very character of Jesus was perfected by suffering. Now, think on that for a moment. Why would Jesus' character have to be perfected? Because there was a human element there. And to me, there's nowhere that where it shows up the greatest, that human element. I mean, I know he fell asleep in the back of the boat. That shows he was hungered. Thirst, he, you know, all these shows this human attribute. But when he was in the garden and he prayed three times for this cup, in other words, for this to die, taking this place and dying, he prayed three times for it to pass from him. In other words, don't make me go through that. Let me stay with my disciples. But of course, on the third time, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, showing that he, as a man, had a will. So his character, his human character, was perfected, that's what the prophet's saying, by the things he suffered. So if his was perfected that way, then ours would be perfected that way. James says to count it all joy when we fall into different temptations, knowing that the trying of our faith worketh patience. And we said that word patience meant endurance, the trying of our faith. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Paul tells us in Romans that the suffering that we go through at this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that we shall have when he's revealed in us. So when we go from this journey where we're at now on earth to the next stage, into the rapture, to the marriage supper of the Lamb, what we're going through now is nothing to be compared to that. It's so much greater that our suffering will seem as little to nothing. I know many of you here, you're not strangers to me. I know many of the things that you've went through and suffered, and the things that have come against you and your families, and how Satan has took some of your families and members and things, and I know these things are hard. But God allowed you to go through it, and it was for the perfecting of your character. I know that's hard to swallow sometimes. It's hard for us to think that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord when we're in the midst of a really bad time or a really sad time or a grieving time. It's hard to think, well, what good could come out of this? But the good that comes out of it is going to be, you can't compare what you're going through to the good that's going to come out of it. I know we don't want to go through sufferings. We don't want to face these things. We don't want to face loss of family members. But we're not the same. It changes us. Brother Branham says, sometimes God allows you to get laid on your back so that you'll look up to him. Many times we're trying to make it on our own. But God will allow something to come along and hit us either physically or mentally or in some way to where we know we can't overcome it. It's going to take a touch of Almighty God for us to make it through. Character is not a character is a victory, not a gift. Why character is a victory is because character is made by you overcoming. You go through things, you face trials, and you overcome them. You make it through. That's a victory. God's not just going to hand character to you in a paper bag. You can't go buy it down at the local drugstore. It comes through testings and trials and temptations and suffering. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise thou not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So now we're going into something else that God uses to mold your character. Child training. Sometimes chastisement, sometimes rebuke. And he does this to mold our character. I thank God that he doesn't let us continue to go on a down a wrong path, but that he'll stop us and turn us around and if need be, give us some chastisement. Amen? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If he didn't love you, you know, you look and many times you see people living a sinful life and doing wrong things, and it seems like nothing bad happens to them and they just keep going on, you know. I wouldn't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person that God doesn't care about. Now, I know in this modern world, they say God cares about all. God died through Jesus Christ, died so that all might be saved, but he knew not all would be. God has children. And the children, and he loves them and he chastens them. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. He does it for our profit, for our good, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Who wants to be partakers of his holiness this morning? Amen. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. That is so true. When you're being child trained, God's training, when he corrects you, it's not joyous, but it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The message of our hope is in God. Brother Bram says, thy children, he was praying here, Heavenly Father, thy children, many are weary and worn, have been pushed about, all for their own good. You ever felt pushed about? Seems like sometimes you're being beset on every side. You think, if I could just face one thing at a time, and yet there's several things going on all at the same time and coming against you. And sometimes you feel like it pushes you almost to the breaking point. But remember, he said he would not put on you more than you could bear. You might feel like you're going to break, but no, that's just the elasticity of Christianity. You're not, you may bend a little, but you ain't going to break. All for their own good, their teaching, their child training. Bring them up in the admiration of the Lord. Trials worth more than silver or gold. Worth more than silver or gold. Think about all the suffering that Jesus went through. Friends, he was born in a stable. Didn't even have a bed, had to borrow a manger to be laid in. Didn't even have a blanket to be wrapped in. You know how they wrap those newborns in a blanket, you know, after you first see them, and then they clean them up, then they wrap them in a blanket, present them to you, you know, all wrapped up. He didn't even have that. They had to borrow a swaddling cloth, which is the cloth that's used to put on the back of the oxen to wrap him in. You know, and it's something to think that you read about him when he's a baby, an infant, newborn. Then you see where the wise men come. Brother Branham said he was about 4 years old then by the time the wise men came. And then you hear of him at the age of 12. Being in the temple and Mary and Joseph looking for him, then you don't hear nothing about him until he's 30 years old. So from the time of 12 to 30, what's that, about 17 years, you don't, there's nothing wrote about him during those 17 years. But he was living as a man. He had to work. He had to make a living. Things didn't just come easy. He wasn't born with a treasure chest. He wasn't born with a bank account. He had to go through some hardships at times. And then we find him at the age of 30, the things that he went through, he was rejected by the very ones he loved, the people. All the suffering that he went through, was beaten, his beard plucked out. He was smote. He said, prophesy and tell us who hit you. He was made fun of, ridiculed, beaten with a whip. Lost so much blood being beaten with a whip and strength that he couldn't hardly drag his own cross up to Calvary, and he had to get some help. And then instead of tying him on the cross, they nailed him to it. Drove big spikes through his hands and his feet. Then he hung there in agony. And if that wasn't enough, all the sins of the world were placed on him right there. Can you imagine the spiritual weight of having everyone's sins laid on you? And being there, and what the crucifixion was him receiving capital punishment, him receiving judgment for those sins. For your sins, for my sins. And then we complain about some of the little sufferings that we go through sometimes. Some of the things that just, you know, kind of make us uncomfortable. The hassles. We complain because we had got a hassle down at the local store trying to return something. We complain because somebody cut us off in traffic. We complain because when we're driving, it seems like we're, you know, everywhere you go, somebody's trying to hit you. We complain because, you know, we got to pay taxes. Jesus had to pay taxes. We complain because we get audited, which makes us real uncomfortable. And that ain't nothing compared to what he went through. Paul said, we have not suffered yet unto blood. Hallelujah. He took on him the form of us. He became us, so that we might become him. When people, new converts especially, when you come to God, first thing you know, along comes a trial. And that trial is to see whether you're going to go on with it or not. You face things that you're tested. Sometimes you don't feel like going on, especially the new ones. You get discouraged. You can get discouraged pretty easy. You're not very strong yet. And the trials come along to see, are you really going to serve him or not? Maybe COVID comes along. You see, are you going to make it? Are you really going to serve him? Are you being propped up by a church? Or can you stand on your own two feet with God? As soon as you come to Christ, something's going to happen. You know, many times you come into a service like this, you start hearing preaching like this, and you say, oh boy, Something's coming. Because God always prepares his people. I'm getting ready to face something. That's why all this is being preached. We don't like to go through it. I have never in my life prayed and said, God, give me patience. Because the human side of me doesn't want what it takes to get it. Tribulations worketh patience. But I've had plenty of tribulations. But I've never asked God for one of them. And neither have you. Nobody's got on their knees and say, Lord, give me some tribulations. Give me some trials. Test me, God. Do me like you did Job. But it comes anyway. Things happen to try you out. See if you're going to put God first. And you know what it is? It's called child training. Child training. Brother Branham talked about the nation talking about juvenile delinquency. And he said, what it is we've got parent delinquency. And he said the reason we got parent delinquency is because we got pulpit delinquency. Preachers had let the congregation get by with anything. And what they need, some child training. Tell them what's right and wrong. Preach the word. Preach the truth about it. Tell them they've got to be born again. You must be born again. There's no way you're going to make it without it. In the message in Knoweth It Not, I believe is the title. Brother Branham talks about the Holy Ghost, and he refers to it as being a tie post. And he says it's something to hold you. He said, and without that tie post, he says, Satan could march some beautiful woman down the street. He said, and a man across the street, if he don't have that tie post, he'll want to go make a date with her. He says, I don't care if he's a preacher. You got to have that tie post. It's the only thing that can hold you. And I'll tell you what, people that claim to have the Holy Ghost and then, you know, go out and commit adultery, something's wrong. Something's wrong, because if the Holy Ghost can't hold you, then what hope do we got? Because we're all subject to these temptations and things. In the book of Job, we're going to get on Job for a little bit. In the book of Job, Job says, God is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and that we should come together in judgment. Neither is there a daysman between us that might lay his hand upon us both. I preached a message one time on the daysman. It is a representative, an advocate, actually, that can lay his hand, Job said, on man and on God at the same time and be that bridge, that gap between man and God. And that was done by Jesus Christ. God becoming human flesh, that's how he was able to do it. He had to become man. Job was innocent. Job had not committed any sin. Job had done everything that was required of him. Every sacrifice that was required to be made, Job had made it. Job was living a life for God. He wasn't doing anything wrong. but he still needed some child training. Just because you're getting child training doesn't necessarily mean you're doing something wrong. It could mean that your character just needs some more molding, bringing you to perfection. Some of us, perfection would mean keeping our mouth shut at times. I've often said, I know you've heard me say it so many, many times, just because it runs through your head don't mean it's got to come out your mouth. You can let it go unsaid. Say things to encourage one another. Say things to help one another. Don't say things to hurt one another. Don't speak against one another. God looked at Job and he said to the devil, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth." He was innocent. Yet it seemed like everything started hitting him at once. Remember how the Bible speaks about it? One messenger would come and bring him a message of bad news, and that one no sooner get done speaking, and here would come another, and then another, and another, and another. So I've lost a child. Job lost them all in one day at the same time. And he hadn't done anything wrong. And it wasn't because God didn't love him. Because God was bragging about him. But remember, the devil said, "You've got a hedge built around him." He said, "Move that hedge and let me touch him. And he'll curse you to your face." What big words the devil had. But they weren't empty. Because the devil had some things up his sleeve he wanted to do, and God said, "All right, you can do anything except take his life." He didn't spare the life of his children. He didn't spare the life of his livestock. He didn't spare the life of his sheep or his cattle. Only Job's life. And to me, his wife showed her true character when she said, "Won't you just curse God and die?" In other words, God must really hate you. Look what he's doing to you. And you ain't done nothing wrong, Job. Of course, he had, you know, his comforters come to him and they said, "You've sinned secretly somewhere." Because God don't allow stuff like this to happen to people that ain't done something wrong. False. God does allow things to happen to people that hasn't done anything wrong. He allows sickness to come on people that haven't done anything wrong. He allows you to get thrown in court when you ain't done nothing wrong. But you know what it was? It was child training. That's what the prophet said. Job was going through child training. But I thought he hadn't done nothing wrong. He still needed to be taught. There were things that Job did not understand and know. Job said, the flower liveth. And then it dies, but it comes back up again. He said, a tree dies, but it comes back up again. But what about man? What about man? What happens to man? Job said. But after Job had come through all that trial training, then Job was able to say that though the skin worms devour my flesh, yet in my flesh shall I see God. In other words, there's going to be a resurrection. I will come back up. Job went through all that, and you know why? Because the Father wanted to reveal himself more to Job. When everything was going smooth, maybe perhaps Job wasn't really seeking after anything. Have you ever prayed? I mean, really prayed. Until you broke through, and you could feel you broke through. And after you broke through, you knew when you got up off your knees that your prayer was going to be answered. Have you ever prayed like that? Because, friends, that is how we need to pray. Because the Bible said, ask and you shall receive. It said that our very desires of our heart would be granted. We need to be, you know what it is? We got to pray until we break free of all of this humanity that we're living in. Pray until you break free of all these human thoughts. Until you break into that other realm. The realm of prayer, Brother Branham called it. The land of prayer. Then there won't be no doubts when you get up. You know you've been touched by the mighty hand of God. I'll tell you what, when you get desperate before God, like Jacob did, God's going to hear you. He's going to answer you. He hears you already, but sometimes he just waits. Like he did the poor woman and her son, you know, during the time of famine in the Bible, she prayed and prayed and prayed. It seemed like God stood still. But she still believed, and she proved that when the prophet came and asked her to make him a cake first. She proved her faith. She was tested there. Friends, what good would it have done her to make that cake for her and her son first? What good would it have done her to tell him, no, I can't make you one, I'm going to make this, because she knew it. They were going to die anyway. Whether it was delayed a few days or not, they were going to die. But her faith was tested. And her faith proved itself. Brother Branham says, you go through these tests to prove your faith. Now, we're not proving it to God. Job didn't have to prove himself to God. It was God through Job proving himself to the devil. Sometimes we got to prove ourselves to ourselves. Sometimes we don't think we could hold up. We see somebody else go through something really hard and think, my. You know, I'm sorry for them, but I'm glad it wasn't me. Look out. You're going to face something too, because the Bible says every son, every child of God gets child training. The Holy Spirit is the tutor. He's the one that trains us. And he's got to report back to the Father. How is the child doing? That's why the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed to the day of redemption. Obey him. Follow him. Let him teach you. How many fishermen do we got here this morning? Now, you've taught other people how to fish, kids. There's only one way to teach them how to get a line untangled, and that's wait for them to get snagged on something. You can't teach them that otherwise. You can't teach them how to pull in a big fish until they get one on the line. They've got to experience it for themselves. When I was a kid, I used to love to catch smallmouth bass or even largemouth, because in fresh water, there ain't hardly nothing that fights like a bass. It's fun catching bass. And it's an experience. And you would not know what it's like if you ain't never held on to the other end of that pole. Nobody can describe it to you. You've got to go through it yourself. That's why character is a victory, not a gift. It can't be given to you. You've got to experience it yourself. You can bait the hook for them all day long, but sooner or later, they're going to have to learn to bait it themselves. Get past all that squeamishness. You ever try to get a hook out of a catfish's mouth? Well, I'll tell you what. You get finned by one of them and you'll never forget it. It ain't always so easy. But you wouldn't know what it was like until you'd done it. That's why God lets us go through things. You've got to experience it. And then you learn from that experience. And then you go through another experience and you learn from that, and it builds on to the what you had learned already. And you keep building on, keep building. And after a while, you could actually say, I'm a fisherman. But you can't say that after you just caught your first fish. If you can't tie your own hook onto the line, you're not a fisherman. You got to go through all these things and experience. I know I'm using something really simple to explain this. I'm trying to anyway. And that's the way it is with the Christian walk. There's things you go through and experience. And each thing you experience just gets built upon what you've already went through and overcame. And as you overcome the next thing, that adds to you. And what it is, it's building a stature of a perfect man. Job, in the midst of all of it, said, I have borne chastisement, I will offend no more. Job was worried, maybe I've done something to offend God's why all this is on me. Some of y'all have been there. There's been times when you had something happen to you and you said, does God not love me? Maybe I've done something. If I knew what it was, I wouldn't do it no more. But he hadn't done anything wrong. It was just child training. The experiences that Job had to go through. And you know what? No matter how much God bragged about him at the beginning, when Job come out at the end, he was better than when he started. Not only did he not curse God, but Job grew out of these experiences. God hasn't promised us a flowery bed of ease. He promised us a lot of mountains. But he also promised us the grace to go over them, through them or around them or something. He also promised us the faith that we could say to this mountain, "Be thou removed." And we face some spiritual mountains, friends, where we need to have the faith to stand there and say, "Mountain, be removed out of my way. You can't stand in the way of a child of God." And then, if it only moves one teaspoon at a time, it's still moving. You ever dug a ditch with a shovel? It's a whole lot easier with a backhoe. A whole lot quicker. But when you're digging with a shovel, it might go slower. But with each shovel full, you're digging a ditch. It might go slower, but it's still going to come out with the same result in the end. Sometimes we got to go through hard things. And we think, why, if this or that happened, it would make this a whole lot easier. I went through many trials pastoring here this church over the last 22 years. Soon to be 23. I've went through many trials and tests. And I can remember a time early on when it seemed like that I was getting hit from one side and then the other side and then another side and another side. And I got down and prayed and I said, "Lord, I feel like I'm about to break. What am I going to do?" But here I stand this morning, victorious over it all. Because of God. And God allowed the things because he had confidence in me. God allows the things to come again because he's got confidence in you. He allowed Job to go through what he went through because he had confidence in Job, that Job wouldn't curse him, that Job would come through victorious. He had confidence. Oh, what it means for God to have confidence in you. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. That's what it says in 2 Timothy. All that live godly. 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you." Huh. It shows the Spirit of God resteth upon you. No wonder Peter is able to say, to have joy about it. When you don't go through child training until you've got the Holy Ghost. Because he's the teacher. Yes, sir. Brother Branham said, you wasn't even in the battle until you got the Holy Ghost. And he said, make no mistake, we're not on a picnic. We're on the battleground. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Ooh. I like that last one. We can get by a lot of them first ones. No, I'm not a murderer. No, I'm not a thief. Evildoer, no. But am I into other people's business? Am I trying to mind other people's business? Tell them what they should be doing. I'm not up here telling you what you should be doing. That's God telling you what you should be doing. And he can do it. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Sometimes when things happen to you, when things happen to your family, there'll be other people around saying, well, it must be this, must be that, probably was this or that. Saying bad things about you, saying bad things about your family. Don't give ear to that. Just let that roll right on off like water off a duck's back. And you ought to be able, you know what causes water to roll off a duck's back? Does anybody know? They've got an oil gland. It's back by their tail feathers. And they take their beak and they get it in that oil, and then they sit there and go through all their feathers, preening their feathers till they get that oil on all their feathers. So when the water hits them, it'll just roll right off. Otherwise, they would get soaked and waterlogged and not be able to swim. We've got oil this morning. We've got Holy Ghost oil. We ought to be able to let some of this stuff just go on by. Trials are to prove your faith. Sometimes God lets you get sick. God does it for his own glory and then turns it around, back around, heals that and starts a testimony. A testimony come out of it. Remember when Elijah was getting ready to go up and Elisha got with him, started following him around, left the plow in the field. And Elijah said, what are you following me for? What do you want? And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And he said, if you see me when I'm took up, you'll have what you asked for. But then everywhere he went, Elijah tried him. Stay here with the prophets. I'll return again. Stay here at this place. Every place Elijah tried to get Elisha to stay, Elijah said, nope. As the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I'll not leave you. I'm going to stay right with you. I'm going to get what I asked for because I'm going to stay right with you. He was determined. And he was tested just like Jesus tested the disciples. Will you go also? Elijah didn't know how Elijah was going to be taken up. He didn't know how it was going to happen, where it was going to happen. If he didn't know how and where and when, he could have said, I'll see you then. But he didn't. So he had to stay right with him until it happened. That's the way the rapture is. You're going to have to stay right with this until it happens. Every man that really steps out to serve God, Brother Branham says, he will go through testings. Every woman that really serves God is going to go through tests. And it ain't going to be pleasant, as I read earlier. Don't be discouraged because you get sick. Don't be discouraged because you face trials and tests. Because the Bible is true and right when it says all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Along the road, things happen. You go through tests and trials. But God's got angels to look after you. He's got angels to bear you up. He's got angels to comfort you. Didn't he send angels to comfort Elijah when he needed it? He's got angels to give you faith, angels to move you along. God's got angels all up and down the ladder, friends. There's angels all around you. When you're in service and maybe there's a call given and you feel this sudden urge and nudge that you need to lift your hand or you need to go up front, it's because there's an angel by you encouraging you to go get what you need. Raise your hand. I can remember being a young man and sitting in church. And sometimes the preacher would say something about, you know, if you've done something wrong in that and you want to make it right, you want God to come down and touch you, raise your hand. And you'd be like, oh man, I don't want to raise my hand for that. But down in deep, you're like, but I know I need to. Come up front. Oh man, if I go up front, everybody's going to see me. I've given you a testimony before about my uncle, the one that passed away due to cancer, how he came to the Lord. He came up to the altar one time and just stood there. And he was just standing there, wasn't praying, wasn't doing nothing, wouldn't kneel down, just standing there. He said he was proud. That's what he told me. My grandfather was standing there and he said, Ronald, if you're not going to pray, just turn around and go on back to your seat. My grandfather got highly criticized over that. But a few services from then, my uncle and a friend of his was sitting on the back bench. And he said he felt that urge to go up, but he was ashamed to go up there. And he stood up, and his friend thought he was standing up to go outside to smoke a cigarette, so he got up too. And so he said something knocked him into the floor. And he said, I had to crawl on my hands and knees up there to the altar. And when I got up there, he said, there wasn't no more pride going to be left. He said, I started snotting and crying and everything. He said, all my pride went out the window. What everybody else might be thinking, all that went out the window. He knew what a rascal he had been and the life he had lived, how he'd been raised, what he had come up through. And he said, God, you're going to have to give it to me all at once or I'll never make it. God saved him. was something urging him to go forward, but he was resisting. I've saw people resist before. I've saw them hold on to the back of the pew in front of them till their knuckles turned white. And I knew there was something urging them to go, and they were fighting it. Don't fight it. Amen. Don't fight it. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning and ask, dear God, that you will take the words that have been spoke today, and Lord, just press them right into our hearts, Lord, and our souls. Lord, we ought to be able to take encouragement from the things that's been said today. Lord, knowing that the things that we face, it has nothing to do with, as your prophet said, it's not about love. It is love. It's God's only way of showing love. It's to correct us. It's to put us on the right path. Every bit of that's love. To not let us go wrong. Lord, we want to make it, Lord. We want to make it. Know that we're at the end, time's drawing short. We see this world going insane. Lord, we know it's the end. Lord, we want to lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us, every sin. And press on for this race. We're at the end. We're seeing the end in sight. We don't know the time, the day, or the hour, the month, or the year. But Lord, we're a whole lot closer than we've ever been before. Each day brings us that much closer. And we see it because each day this world gets worse and worse and worse. They're going more and more insane, Lord. The things they come up with, Lord, don't make no sense. But to them, they think it does. All this stuff, Lord, like gender neutral or whatever and all that stuff, Lord, they're going crazy. Pride Month. This world's going totally insane. We've got to be at the end, dear God. Oh God, with everything that's in me, God, I want to make it. With everything that's in these people here, I know they want to make it, Lord. Try us if you need to. Test us, whatever it takes, Lord, to make us ready, dear God. We just want to be ready to go. Have your way, dear Lord Jesus. Lord, you know the hearts of each and every one here this morning. You know where each of us stands with you, Lord. You know if any of us need correction, dear God, in what area it's in. We need guidance, Lord. You know all. You know our lives inside and out. Lord, I ask God that you'll just work in all the lives of these people here. Lord, you said you would finish the good work that you started, Lord. Yes. Have your way, dear Jesus. Bless the people today, Lord. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.